time for another wellness update presented by the Aging Well Together Winnipeg Coalition. Information to help seniors stay safe and get the most out of life. With today's guest, here's CJNU's Frank Stecky.
Chatting today with Kristen Reynolds, clinical psychologist and an associate professor with the psychology department at the University of Manitoba. Hey, Kristen, welcome to CJNU.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we're talking about amongst seniors. Again, it's a big, big topic. Social isolation, loneliness. Where do things stand on that from a clinical psychology standpoint? Where do things stand when it comes to the idea of social isolation and loneliness for seniors?
Yeah, absolutely. Such an important topic right now. And what we're seeing is Canada being an aging society and a growing number of older adults, and we're living longer, which in some ways is wonderful. But we want to make sure that the quality of those years is good, and people are feeling satisfied with their later years. And one of the issues with satisfaction is that we want to feel connected.
Right.
And there are so many issues when we become disconnected. And I think a lot of research and a lot of us in our lives have seen that when, for example, with COVID, when we have lost those connections or those activities that have kept us feeling good and satisfied and connected over the years, when they've dropped, people have noticed that that mental health impact and a growing loneliness and isolation.
How much does the different seasons affect things? I would imagine that come wintertime, there's a lot more people that are affected by the feelings of isolation and loneliness than they are during the summer months. Am I correct in that assumption?
Absolutely. It's especially our Manitoba winters are cold and icy and can be quite long. And so what that means for isolation is that people are often inside. And when people are inside, they're often moving less, they might connect less, talking less with others, and having just less conversations, less visitation, less opportunity to grow those important bonds.
So one question I wanted to get into, and one of the aspects of it I wanted to get into with you, is that there's actually two parts to it. What about for somebody who's newly alone? And I'm referring to, say, a widow or widower, maybe lost a spouse during the summer. Now winter comes, and now they're really starting to affect it. What can they do to help themselves out, but also their support group? What should the support group keep in mind for if they know somebody that's in that situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really important, and hopefully people do have a support group when they lose a loved one they can connect with. And it sort of comes from both the person who has experienced the loss, if they can reach out to those supporters, and if they do have them, and that support network, if they can be connecting, checking in, and asking about how they're doing and what they need. And oftentimes when people have experienced a transition or a loss in the type of loss that you're suggesting, they might pull away from activities that they've previously enjoyed doing. And so we want to keep people engaged with those activities.
What about empty nesters? That's the other side of it. You're still married, you still have a spouse, but you're used to having, say, a couple of university-aged kids at home while they're taking university. Now they graduated, say, last year. We're in January now. Last year they graduated. Now we're into winter. You're used to having the hustle and bustle in the house and all this. Now it's just the two of you, maybe not as much. Is that something that could affect the social isolation and loneliness as well?
Absolutely. Any change to our existing patterns and interactions with people, and changes to the weather and changes to our health. And there's so many different things that can affect how lonely we're feeling or how isolated we've become. But definitely in the case of empty nesters, important to pay attention to how we're feeling and to see if there are other things that we can do to stimulate those types of connections or activities that we used to do with when the kids were in the house, for example.
So resources available. Say, again, you've got somebody who's on their own for the first time now, or you've got a couple that are like, you know, okay, well, we're by ourselves now. What are we going to do? What are some of the resources, places people can go, things people can do to try and find things to keep themselves socially active and connected with other people?
A great question and a great point. I think the first thing that we need to do is really know ourselves and connect to ourselves about what we need and what we're going through and what might help. But when looking sort of to our community, we're really fortunate in Manitoba. We have so many great community organizations that a person can go to for the types of support that we're talking about. And One is A&O support services for older adults. Another is our 211 resource that people can contact, find out what else is available. We have Anxiety Manitoba, a self-help organization for anxiety in the community, Canadian Mental Health Association. So there really are some great resources where people can reach out and get a variety of different services that might meet their needs. But first, people have to identify sort of what those needs are.
Yeah. Even something like MASC, the Manitoba Association of Senior Communities. There are so many senior centers around the province, the 55-plus centers and that people can go and, you know, do whatever, play pickleball or go out for a coffee or play canasta or something like it. Just anything to get out of the house. We were even talking about A&O, you and I were talking off air about bingo. It's once a week or something like that over the phone. They have a bingo thing that lasts for about an hour. Even something like that gets you a little connected because you're talking to somebody else.
Absolutely. And when we're choosing activities, it's so important to choose one that we can derive multiple benefits from. So something like bingo, where we're being actually quite cognitively stimulated and challenged. Our brain is having to work really hard to keep up with what's being called and to find that on our sheet. We're also socially engaged. We might be laughing. We might be connecting with someone else on, you know, on the line. And so there are just so many positive benefits from that activity and choosing one that can allow us to benefit across sort of cognitive, emotional, and perhaps physical domains as well is going to really be helpful for our mental health and for combating things like loneliness and isolation.
Kristen Reynolds, a clinical psychologist, associate professor of the psychology department of the University of Manitoba. I want to say thank you so much for taking some time out of your very busy schedule and joining us here on CJNU.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Listen next week at this time for another wellness update presented by the Aging Well Together Winnipeg Coalition and CJNU 93.7 FM.
As long as you stand by me.